Okay, it's always a schus to be back together. And I was thinking about it, just walking here right now, that last week I had the schus to speak in Camp Hask, and I shared an idea of a Gemara. The Gemara is a very strange Gemara, and the Gemara says that the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed was because that we didn't go l'fnim mishuras hadin in our avodas Hashem, in our judging cases. But that's how it's understood. Basically, that we didn't go above and beyond. We didn't go above and beyond l'fnim mishuras hadin, which meant you're keeping and doing what you're supposed to be doing, and not going above and beyond. And I explained that it's showing that it's void of heart. That we're lacking. If we're not going above and beyond, it's not passionate, it's not full of heart. I'm not going to give over that whole shit right now, but you can listen to it. It's on Yayi Torah. But Lamaisa, I think there's no question that what we have here this year, that's very late at night, at the very end of a camp day, when in real life time it's already 11:30. And, you know, obviously people are tired and exhausted, want to chill, and to come to learn Torah, there's no question, nobody's mechuyev in this, nobody's obligated in this. It's all voluntary, and this is all l'fnim mishuras hadin. This is all above and beyond. And if the Gemara tells us that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed because we didn't go l'fnim mishuras hadin, so there's no question when we're going l'fnim mishuras hadin, when we're going above and beyond, so there's no question that that's going to be a help to build the Gula. So Mirz Hashem, what we have here together, in the schus of this, we should be zoyche that on Matzah Shabbos and Sunday morning, that we don't have to sit on the floor, we won't have to have the tainess of Tisha B'Av, but we'll have the yantav of Tisha B'Av together, Mirz Hashem. So we're starting Perek Gimel, it's an exciting night. Start a new Perek. Chai joins us, and we start a new Perek, Baruch Hashem. And it's nice, start Perek Gimel. There's also, we know Gimel is a chazakah. Right, three is a chazakah, a certain strength, a certain continuity, a certain connection. So the third parak is a chazakah for us. This year actually began in Camp Dina a few years ago in a certain sense. Really, two summers ago in Camp Dina we started learning, or three summers ago, I don't remember, we started learning Pirkei Avos. And again, we try to learn more in depth and understand, so we're going to get through one or two Mishnayos a night. So we're up to Perek Gimel now, Baruch Hashem. And we'll continue. We'll continue until we finish and we'll move on to other limudim. And we learned together, it happens to be together last time, right? Lo alecha hamlocha ligmor. The avodah is not finishing. The avodah is just learning and growing. And that's what we're doing, and it's bichchus. So let's learn this Mishnah together. Akavya b'mahalol omer. Akavya b'mahalol says, histakil b'shlosha dvarim v'iyata bali de'avera. That if you look and stare, and here it doesn't mean just physically look, but the lashon of istaklus here means to really, istaklus is to gaze, to look for a long time. It means to look with depth and look internally and to connect and understand the following three concepts. V'iyata bali de'avera. And through that, you'll ensure that you don't come to do an avera. None of us want to do an avera. Sometimes we fall into doing averas based on our temptation, based on our laziness, based on our jealousy, based on our haughtiness, based on a lot of different factors. But none of us want to do an avera. We want to stay away from anything that will not bring nachas ruach liot, or not bring happiness to Hashem. Hashem does so much for us. We want to do it, right? And we know it's best for us as well. Obviously, every avera ultimately is not best for us. It's not really bringing us happiness. Maybe it's momentary pleasure, but not in the long run. So here's a Mishnah that's going to give us the skills and the backbone to not come to do an Aveira if we think about it, and we understand and we ponder the following three things. What are those? Da me'ayin basa. Know where you come from. Know where you come from. I'm not going to explain more yet because it's a very interesting Mishnah, you'll see. It's not written like a Mishnah, it's written like a Gemara, we'll get to it in a moment. Ula anat olech, and where are you going? In front of who are you eventually going to be judged? Although it's interesting, we'll come back to this lashon of din v'cheshbon, judgment and calculation. Why two separate languages? We'll have to understand that. But the Mishnah continues. We're going to come back and explain again, but I want to just first read through the Mishnah one time, because this Mishnah is interesting. And then it goes, Me'ayim basa. Where did you come from? Mitipas rucha. Mitipas rucha, from a drop of decaying zera, basically. We came from a nothingness, a very small little drop of nothing. That's where we started, right? Where we started. Ulana Tolech, where are you eventually going to go? Limkom Afar Rim of Zaleya. Where's every one of us going to go? Hopefully it'll be Zaleich and Mashiach, but if not, to a place full of dust, worms, and maggots, right? 6 feet under. It's very humbling. Seems like a very depressing mission as well, but we'll see. It's not. It's not meant to be. And finally, Vlaimiyata also didn't in Vcheshban, in front of who are you going to eventually be judged? Lifnei Melech Malchem Lachem Kadosh Baruch Hu, in front of the King of all Kings. That's our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, even on the surface, we understand how it could give, hopefully, chizuk, an inspiration to do what's right. When we think about, in a very humbling way, where we came from, where we're going, the bigger picture in life, obviously, there's a lot here, but there's a lot to delve into. A lot to delve into here. We're going to start from the following place. What is going on? We've learned already many Mishnayos together. And you've all learned Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos and perhaps other places before. Have you ever heard of a Mishnah written like this? Meaning, I know you're Nashim Tzikanios, you're women, I don't know how many of you have had so much, you know, exposure to Gemara. But I'm sure you know Mishnah is generally more basic, some ideas. And then the Gemara is what comes and analyzes and rips it apart and questions and answers, right? Textualizes, analyzes. Here you have that all like in the Mishnah. It starts off like telling us, think of these three things and you won't come to Vera. And then the second part of the Mishnah is already like a Gemara. Like already giving commentary. Where did you come from? Tipas Rucha. Where are you going? Like, what's going on? Very strange Mishnah. Very strange Mishnah. So I once saw an incredible idea. Before this incredible idea, I just want to share to you how I came to this idea. How I came to this idea. So, years ago, it's amazing, where I saw this pirish in a special Mishnayos that I have at home on Pirkei Avos, a special commentary. So when I was first married, this was my first year of marriage, 21 years ago. I think it was the first year. So I was just married, and I lived in Kew Garden Hills, in Queens. And that year, in the World Series, the Yankees played against the Mets in the World Series. This is before you got your time, you know what I'm saying, right? Is anyone alive in the year 2000? Yeah. Hi, you were alive, yeah? Just made it. What year were you born? What year? 99. Okay, you just made it, okay? You don't remember 2000, but there was a year where the Yankees, the New York Yankees, and the New York Mets played each other in the World Series. It's known as the Subway Series. You take the subway back for, you know. Yankees played the Mets in the World Series. And this is an exciting thing. Now, I was already at a point where, like, this stuff wasn't important to me. But even today, I still enjoy sports. And a few of my friends called me up. And they said, oh, let's watch. I don't remember which game it was. One of the World Series games. Let's watch the game. I'm like, okay, you know what? Why not? It's Yankees-Mets. It's a go away. So I'm like, where are we watching the game? I didn't have a TV. I didn't have a, you know. So neither did these guys. And like, they had then, I don't think it still is there, pretty sure not, in Queens, a Duggies. Okay? You guys remember Duggies in Queens? You're from Queens, so you remember this. What?
It's not there anymore.
It's gone. But then it was like, if you know where Benji's Pizza is, it was like across the street, on the other side of Main Street, right over there. It was Duggies. And they had, these guys told me, these friends of mine, they told me that that in Duggies they had like TVs that they put up just to be able to, you could sit and eat and watch the World Series. Okay. So we go to watch this World Series game. I don't remember one detail of the game, but I'll tell you it was a life-altering night. What was the life-altering? We sit down, the three of us, we order food. It was, okay, we're enjoying our time, watching the game, eating. And these two other guys come and sit down next to us. And we start talking to them. And this one guy, he starts telling us his life story. And he was a Baal Tshuva. and how he grew up, and that he didn't know from Torah mitzvahs at all, and how he chose, and like it was so inspiring, so incredible. And I'm so, like, forget about the game. This was mamish an incredible night. And at the end of the night, he takes us out to his car, and I remember he had this gorgeous Lexus outside, and he pops the trunk, and the whole trunk is svarim, but I'm talking like hundreds, like svarim, but just two of the same svarim. And he had tons of this tehillim that he had, that he paid to have made with this pirish, that he would give out to people that they should learn on tehillim, and he gave me like 10 copies of these that I should give it out to other people and have for myself. And then he pulls out this Pirkei Avos. It's a red Pirkei Avos. And it was a Pirkei Avos with like a compilation of different commentaries inside. And he tells me this was the key to how I became from. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, a rabbi, I'll tell you, I don't remember which Torah, but he tells me a rabbi learned with him a Torah in here, and that's why he became from. And he says, I want you to have this. You should have it. And I still have that on my shelf at home. And it was just so special to meet this Jew, but also to learn, like, you know what brought him to become from? A piece of Torah. A piece of Torah. Because Torah is so beautiful, and Torah is the wisdom of Hashem, and Torah is hanachamad mizav mipazrav. It's sweeter than, that's why we're together right now, because you could be doing other things right now, and you chose to be here because there's something so sweet and beautiful and uplifting about Torah. And it's life-altering. And so in that copy, I learned the following Torah I'm going to share with you. This is not, I don't believe the Torah that changed his life. I don't remember which one that was. But I saw this Torah asking on this Mishnah that we're learning, what's going on in this Mishnah that it sounds like a Gemara, where it gives the first beginning of the Mishnah and then it asks, and if you wanted Torah, it could have gone straight into it, right? It could have been, a kavmala estakab shos devar v'yata balavera, ma'ayim basa miti pasrucha, alanato oleich, lifn makom amar afari. Like, it wasn't first, give the ideas and then ask and give an answer. Like, that's not how Mishnayos generally work. So listen to what I saw. And this idea was based on a Torah from a Vatali Rapshitzer, who said it really in the name of the Noam Elimelech. And they said as follows. In Judaism, there's two yesodos that are so important to always remember. And different schools of thought pushed each of these differently. But we need a synthesis of the two. And what are those? Gadlus Habore, the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. One has to always have in mind how incredible the Ribbono Shel Olam is. How the Ribbono Shel Olam is everything in this world. How the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world and gives us everything. Everything comes from him. And he's Ein Sof and he's perfect. And we have the schus to be a Bas Melech, a Ben Melech, and be close to him. The greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And simultaneously, what's called shiflas ha'adam, the lowliness of man. And that doesn't mean in a depressing way, chas v'shalom. And that doesn't mean in a way that I shouldn't think that I have tremendous traits and could accomplish a lot. But I realize with humility, with a sense of humbleness, like a Moshe Rabbeinu was unamod mikol adam, yes, I have tremendous talents and traits and I could accomplish a lot, but it's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam and I'm nothing compared to him. Because everything I have is from him. So simultaneously, and they work hand in hand, the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam and shiflus ha'adam, the lowliness of man. Again, not in a depressing way, in a humility way, in a humble way. And with that in mind, now we read this Mishnah. Listen to what the way you're supposed to read this Mishnah. It's one of my favorite Mishnahs of Pirkei Avos once I saw this Torah. He says, Akavi Mahalo, Omer Akavi Mahalo says, Histakel b'shlosh ha'dvarim, think about, envision three things, and you won't come to the Navera. First of all, Mayayim Basa, where did you come from? Where did you come from? You know where you came from? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Ulanat Olech. And where are you one day going to go? You know where you're going to go? To the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ulemiyata Asa Litain Din B'Cheshbon. And you know who's going to judge you after you go there? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Meaning what? All of that is really just thinking about one thing. The greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Think about these three things that come to what? The same answer. Think about how incredible the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And how incredible the Ribbono Shel Olam is in your life. And you're never going to sin. Because you just want to make him proud. But simultaneously, you have to come to the next step. And that's the second part of the Mishnah. Me'ayim basa. Where did you come from? Mitipas rucha. From nothingness. From a drop of zera that by itself would decay, would be putrid. Ma'amish nothingness. Meaning, you think you're so great? Think about where you came from. Shiflus ha'adam. Ulanat olech. You know where you're going to go one day? Limkom offer rim of Zalea. 6 feet under to a place of dust, worms, and maggots. Again, not in a deflating way that you should feel low of yourself, but low of yourself in the grand scheme of the world so that you take your life seriously and don't focus on your own pleasures. And by the way, lifnei miyata asa l'alitin did v'cheshven, you know who you're going to be one day? Face, and face every moment of our life? Lifnei melech ma'achem melech ha'kadosh baruch hu. Shiflus Adam. So that's the way to learn such a Mishnah. Incredible way to see, the godless to see a Mishnah like this. But it's the way that we all have to think. And if we think like that always, Iyata Bali De Avera, you're not going to come to do an Avera. What a beautiful idea. What a beautiful read of the Mishnah. But a beautiful concept in life. If we could always just think about how incredible the Rabbanu Shalom is, how wonderful the Rabbanu Shalom is, how perfect the Rabbanu Shalom is, how much I owe to the Rabbanu Shalom, and simultaneously, don't focus because we focus too much and we're full of such gaiva. The world is full of such gaiva. That's why it doesn't want to be mishabed itself to Rabbanu Shalom. So much of our inability to serve Hashem properly, so much of our overindulgence in our temptations, it really comes from gaiva. I think the world of myself, and we should think highly of ourselves, but only in the mirror of recognizing everything that we have has come from Hashem. But when it's all about us, that's when we look to only fill my body. That's when we look only to feel pleasure and to put ourselves above others and to run after kavod, to run after the respect of others and to look to be involved in activities that are full of just filling my temptations and making myself feel good because I'm only focusing on myself. And I'm full of haughtiness. I'm full of self-indulgence and self-value. We should feel value within ourselves, but only as a mirror of the Rabbanu Shalom, with the proper humility and not full of gaiva. Realize godless of the Rabbanu Shalom and the shiftless Adam, and you're going to be incredible in this world and be so besimcha in this world. By the way, I saw the Pirush Rav Avadah Bar Tanura on this Mishnah. He says that really, you know, there are different factors, and really they go hand in hand to what we just spoke about, that hold this person back in life. And first is gaiva, like we just said, and be'ayim basa, when you realize you came from so nothingness, how could you have gaiva? Ulana taholeich reminds you, how could you have taiva? Who are you going to focus on? Taiva, it's momentary. One day you're going to be 6 feet under. Think about the next world, don't think about right now. And when you think about being judged, if they meet al din v'cheshven, so you're not going to do any chait. You're never going to give in to any chait. That's the way the Rav Avadah Bar Tanura learns us. But ultimately, it's what we're saying. If you focus on the godless of Adam, the greatness, the godless of the Rabbanu Shalom, and the shiftless Adam, there's a godless of Adam also. Once we see all that, then you see the greatness of man. By the way, once you see the greatness of the Rabbanu Shalom and the shiftless of Adam within that context, then you all bring out. And the byproduct is the greatness of man. The greatness of man is only as a what? Ever Hashem. The greatness of man is as the Levanas, the moon. We focus on the moon, right? Meaning we live our life according to the moon, the month, the calendar, not like the Umas Olam according to the sun. The moon is always a reflection. The greatness of the moon and the light of the moon is when it's a reflection of the sun. When we're a reflection of the Rabbanu Shalom, we're great and we're huge. When we think we're chashiv within ourselves, That's when we fall. There's one more yisod that we have to remember here in this Mishnah. I pointed out, what was that din v'cheshven? Diten din v'cheshven. What's din v'cheshven? I'll tell you what the, if I'm not mistaken, I saw this from the Vilna Gaon explains, din v'cheshven is. After Me'ev Esrim, after 120, we're going to be judged. And that itself is, it could be very scary, but it should be enlightening and it should be invigorating to give us chizik to do what's right. Because, yeah, we're going to be judged one day. And most people focus on being judged, and we've been taught this from a young age, and especially like Elul time and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, of that scale and mitzvos and averos, right? Like, there's something to that. That's not wrong. The mazel of Tishrei is a scale. We're being judged, you know? Being judged. So we have the black and white, the mitzvahs and the averos. That's din, that's judgment. And for every mitzvah we do, we're going to get tzchar, we're going to get reward. For every averos we do, there's a punishment, there's oinish, there's punishment. They cancel each other out, whatever, right? We all have these visions in our heads, whatever that means. So that's din. What's cheshbon? What's that calculation? The cheshbon is the following. After 120, Hashem is not just going to tell you, oh, this is who you were and this is what you deserve based on your actions. There's something else, and this might be even scarier than din. But hopefully, not scary, hopefully it will give us chizuk. There's who we could have been. And every time if we don't live up and we do an avera lola, you know, we're a little bit lazy and we don't daven well, or we don't push ourselves as much as we can in learning, or we don't... Every time we do that, so we did something wrong. But we also lost the opportunity for greatness. We lost the opportunity to build ourselves into something very special. And after 120, Hashem's not going to just show us, okay, this is what you did, this is what you didn't do, these are your... It's also, cheshbon is the calculation of if you would have done everything right, if you would have lived up to your potential, who you could have been, and that's very scary to think that that might not be who I'm going to be. And hopefully that person is an image and a mirror image of who I am, and that's beautiful, and that's wonderful. I lived up to who I could have been. That's awesome. There's no bigger brach in the world. But if we don't match that person, and it could have been so much more, that's something very scary. So, lifnei mi'ata also lidin cheshbon, that we're supposed to be thinking about, that one day, I'm not just going to have din. There's also going to be cheshbon. There's also going to be cheshbon. And that cheshbon, again, this is all not meant. Kadosh Baruch Hu never wants us to be sad and be scared. It's more to mechazik us. To be the best you, to be the best me, to be the best self, so that I live up to that, and that picture that Hashem is going to show me, it's going to match with exactly who I am, and that could be something very, very, very beautiful. That could be incredible. And that's what I hope it's going to be. There's one other way I was thinking that cheshbon could mean. Wait, let me just finish this and I'll take okay. And that one other way. Happened, just came out tonight speaking to the TCs earlier. In life, we think a lot about, in Yiddish, kind of black and white, right? Like, so white are the mitzvos, and black are the averos, and white is what I should do, and black is what I shouldn't do. The truth is, there's a lot that's gray, right? If you think about it, most of our day is gray. Meaning, even if, let's say you daven all the time, all the big kavanah shachras, big kavanah mincha, and you learn an hour a day, or even an hour and a half, and you make all the brachas you should, how much of your day does that take up? How much of a day? 2 hours? 2.5 hours? So much of the day is gray. It's not black, it's not white, I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm also not doing any mitzvahs, it's just time in school, time in work, time hanging with my friends in the summer, just chilling, relaxing, playing ball, I don't know, whatever he does it for you, right? It's all gray. It's not a mitzvah, it's not a vera. What do we do with that time? Meaning that could well be elevated. When, of course we're allowed to have downtime and chill and relax. Are we doing that? And when we talk to our friends with the most midos, we're trying to build other people, and we carry ourselves with dignity and like a bas Torah should, and as sanua as we could, and the way we speak, and we could elevate all the gray area as well. Right? We could elevate. There's an idea, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, kedoshim tiyu. Make yourself holy. What does that mean? The Ramban explains, Kadesh atzmacha b'mutter lach. Make yourself holy in the areas that are mutter. Meaning just make those special. Carry yourself as a bas Torah in those areas as well. Elevate the gray. You know, there's a band back in the 80s, 90s I was into. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to this, but called the Counting Crows. Anyone ever hear the Counting Crows? Before your time. Their most famous song, because it was like on the radio, even though I thought they had much better songs than even this, was the song Mr. Jones. Okay? And they had a line in that song. It said, gray is my favorite color. I always thought, pshat, you know? Gray is the Rabbi Nisham's favorite color. Meaning what? Black and white is right and wrong. But HaKadosh Baruch wants to see what we do with the gray. Not just, okay, vada, we do our mitzvahs, we try our best not to do averus, to the best of our ability. But what about all the gray area? How are we carrying ourselves as a bat Torah throughout the entire day? And maybe that's what cheshba means. Din are your mitzvahs and your averus. But then there's going to be a calculation of all the gray area of life. So we have to have that in mind as well. These are all the things, this whole mission of the Kavi Mahalo, is to make sure that we live up to who we should be. Again, not it could be, if you could learn this Mishnah in a very morbid way, in a very, you know, somber way. But I think of it always, whenever the Torah is talking in such a manner, it's to build us, to be mechazik us, to make sure we're our best selves. So remember, the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the shiftless of Adam. And remember it all, just so we end up being godless within ourselves. We end up being our best selves, serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in the best way. And specifically during these special days, again, I'm not calling them sad days, these special days of the 9 days, which are meant to be days of inspiration, days where we build a closer relationship with Hashem, where we realize there is a distance, so I have to build a closer relationship with Hashem. And through that all, we'll be zoicha to gula and simcha, and hopefully by next Wednesday night, we'll be zoicha to have the shir in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, with Mashiach HaKeinu, b'meheirah b'yameinu.